So 2 weeks ago, we looked at Proverbs and found out what Proverbs had to say about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a great place to start. Then last week, we looked at what Proverbs said about making wise decisions. Proverbs says a lot of helpful things on a lot of important topics. But out of all the things the book of Proverbs has something to say about, the words we use is right at the top of the list. Words. Words and how we can use our words to speak wisely. That's what we'll be looking at this morning from the book of Proverbs. And make no mistake, the irony is not lost on me that I'm preaching on speaking wisely. But the Lord must have me here for a reason, so we'll crack on. So, Andy said last week the Proverbs was full of nuggets of gold. And I like that because it is. We have to go mining for these nuggets in Proverbs, and there's so much gold in them when we do mine for them. That's what we're going to be doing this morning. Listen, the words we choose to use can make or break our life. I'll say that again. The words we choose to use can make or break our life. So let's see what Proverbs has to say about all this. Again, it's a topical sermon, so I'll be taking different verses from the Bible. So they should be on the screen behind me. Ben will pop them up when we get there, or the lads over there, and you can follow through. So Proverbs chapter 10, verses 18 to 21 says this: "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Where words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense." Proverbs chapter 12, 18. "There is one whose rash or reckless words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. "A gentle answer, a soft answer turns away wrath." Proverbs 18, 21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. "Whoever goes about slandering or gossiping reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler." Proverbs 25, verse 11. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." Now, if you know anything about World War II, you will know that the Japanese did not go down easy. They were well up for a scrap. But just before the end of World War II, the odds were stacked right against them, yeah? I mean, the fact we're sat here speaking British language and not German tells you it didn't go well for them, you know? I was going to say Scottish, but... So anyway, Allied forces at the end of the Second World War ask the Japanese, "Will you surrender?" Now, the Prime Minister of Japan at the time was a guy called Kantaro Suzuki. I had to practice that one a few times this week. Benny knows him. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it again. I've got one of them. I'm one of them only. Anyway, and when the Allies asked him, "Do you surrender?" he responded with one word. Mokusatsu. I'm not saying that one again either. Mokusatsu. I did say it again. Now, in all seriousness, yeah, with the fate of your country in the balance, you'd think you'd say more than one word, right? But he didn't. And that word proved to be fatal. You see, the word that the Japanese Prime Minister had used translates into the English language as ignored. Yeah. Basically, "I'm not listening to what you say." The Allies took this as an act of aggression. And we know what happened next. They dropped two nuclear warheads on Japan, on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Millions dead. I say it again. The words we choose to use will make or break our lives. The words we choose to use will affect all those around us. Words are powerful. Words are really powerful. They do great damage, or they can bring great healing. We must learn to use words wisely. So three areas I want to unpack this morning off the back of that. First, I want to look at the power of words to wound and kill. The power of words to wound and kill. Then I want to look at the power of words to heal and bring life. Then I want to see how we can use these words wisely. So power of words to wound and kill, power of words to heal and bring life, then using our words wisely. There'll be some subheadings under that last point of application. I will keep us right as we go. All good? Let's crack on then. First section, the power of words to wound and kill. Who said something stupid this week? Who's lied or hidden something or told a little hard truth, maybe a little tiny white lie this week? I told Rachel I didn't eat all the biscuits. I did eat all the biscuits. But listen, how has that made you or someone else feel, I wonder? Not good, I imagine. And that's because there are power in the words we use. Listen, make no mistake about it. The poison of our words comes from the poison of our hearts. Think of a drunk person. They tell you exactly how they feel, don't they? Unfortunately, before I was a Christian, I've been the drunk person, I've been on the receiving end of the drunk person as well. They don't mince words, they tell you exactly how they feel. And then the next day they say something like this: I didn't mean what I said. Lie. That's a lie. What they mean is, I meant what I said, I just didn't want you to hear it. That's what they mean to say. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 18 to 19. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Where words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Listen, when we lie to someone or conceal something from someone that they really should know, we wreck relationships. Maybe not in the immediate, but we will in the long term. We take away a person's ability to make wise decisions because they don't have all the facts. We're lying to them. When we lie to someone, we force our false reality onto them. And that can often be because we're unhappy with our own reality. I guarantee if you've met a compulsive liar, they will be insecure and crave affirmation. They use words to manipulate reality for themselves and others. They want people to think they are someone they aren't and conceal who they really are. They want to be Mr. or Mrs. Important. And that's the power words have, by the way. They have the power to manipulate, slander, and wound. But the Bible calls people who do this, fools. That's what verse 18 says in Proverbs chapter 10. Listen to this from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to 14 says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. It's the end of it. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, ready, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. That's frightening. That's frightening because whatever rotten thing we say about someone, whether we say it internally or externally, God hears it first. We sin against him first. And one day we'll have to give an account for it. That's a frightening thing to get our heads around this morning. Maybe if some of us held our tongues, more often it wouldn't be. And trust me, I include myself in this. This sermon has kicked me up and down this week. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 says, where words are many, transgression, sin is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Choose your words carefully. Don't dig your grave with them. Choose your words carefully. Don't dig your grave with them. We need to ask God for help in restraining our tongues. And if we don't, we can get in all kinds of trouble. James chapter 3, verse 6 says, the tongue also is a fire. Picture that image of fire, yeah? A world of evil among the parts of the body. A world of evil. Strong language here. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. That's serious language. It's serious language because James knows the power our words have to set our whole life on fire. Think of some people in history who we know. Think of Lance Armstrong, the gold medalist cyclist. He used words to lie and cheat his way to the top. But in the end, the words he used and the lies he told, it blew his whole life apart. He was ruined. Think of Saddam Hussein, the old leader of Iraq, an evil dictator responsible for the death of maybe millions of innocent people. But his words prompted Allied forces to take him out of the game. Never mind his tongue setting the course of his life on fire, his tongue got his life ended. Words have the power to wound and kill the listener. But words also have the power to wound and kill the talker. We need to be aware of that this morning. Words can kill a person physically, psychologically, and spiritually. Think of that Prime Minister of Japan we talked about. He chose words that led to the physical death of millions. Many rulers, kings, and commanders have had that power with words. But words also kill psychologically and spiritually. I know many of us here will know the effects words can have on our mental health. I won't labor this point. We all know verbal abuse and spiritual abuse is real and awful. Listen, think of it very simply. If you name a child stupid, they will spend their whole lives being affected by that word. It will have a massive effect on their psychological development, no? Same for a person who's been called worthless all their lives. Our words are powerful and can leave us with gaping psychological wounds. That takes us on to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is one whose rash or reckless, yeah? Rash or reckless words are like sword thrusts. Now think about this for a minute. Get that image in your head. Get that image of a sword thrust, okay? And I pray none of you have experienced this firsthand, right? But when someone has a sword thrust into them, think about it. They can remove the sword. They cannot remove the wound. You're hearing that? That's the image Solomon wants you to get in Proverbs. You can take the sword out, but the wound stays. And if it's not fatal, it leaves a scar. It's the same with our words. If a reckless, rash word comes out of our mouths, we say, we take it back. Sorry, didn't mean that. But the wound those reckless words have made, they can't be taken back. And words don't just wound, as we said, they can kill. A sword, the imagery here in Proverbs, a sword is a powerful weapon that can kill. It is the same with our words. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Listen, I bet we all know a few words, just a few words that could ruin a brother or sister sat in church this morning, don't we? We could kill them mentally or spiritually like that. Speaking to Benny in the week, and we were talking about that phrase, that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We all heard that? That's the biggest, fattest lie I've ever heard in my life. Benny was saying what should be is, sticks and stones may break your bones, and words will rip your heart out. That's what it should be. That's the wounding, killing power our words can have. It'd be a pretty miserable sermon if it ended there, no? But thankfully, that's not the only power our words have. Second section, the power of words to heal and bring life. So we're going back to that verse again, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. The one who uses rash or reckless words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Healing. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer, a soft answer, turns away wrath. You know, it will be 8 years this August that I've been in Nidri. I know. Mad, I think it's flown by for me. It probably hasn't flown by for some of you. I must be honest. But as for me, it seems like it was yesterday. But I always remember when I first got here. I'd been saved about a month or so. I was raj as a brush. Still am raj as a brush, but I was raj as a brush back then. I fly up on a plane with a pastor of the church I'd gone to in Wales, yeah? My plan was to be in Scotland no more than a weekend. Sucks for you guys, but that was my plan. So I fly up on this plane with a pastor from Wales. He's on eggshells. I'm fuming because I think someone's talking about me at the back of the plane. Might be in the head, who knows, yeah? As I said, I was off my head. I was mad. Exactly, I was off my head. I didn't know why I decided to get on that plane. I don't know why I decided to leave my whole life behind. I didn't know what the place I was going to was going to be like. I met this guy, Mez, at the church. We walk up the fort. We don't say much. We head to Nando's, and we meet Andy Constable. Now listen, back then, maybe a little bit now, but definitely back then, I didn't trust anyone. I didn't like anyone being too close to me, and I always had to have my eyes on exits. I had to see where I was going, yeah? Easy way out. But here I am, surrounded by guys I don't know, huddled in this booth in Nando's, with no clear view of the exit. I'm beginning to sweat. I'm getting edgy. I'm getting paranoid. I'm getting frustrated. And then the next words I heard really helped the situation. Andy Constable says, "We are going to take your phone off you. You're going to be on a 5 p.m. curfew. You will be in lockdown." I spoke to him in the week about it, and he said, "It wasn't personal." I was like, "It felt personal." Do you know what I mean? Now I'm angry. Now I've gone from frustrated to angry. I remember picking a point on Nando's window that I'm going to throw Andy through. And I'm picking this like top left corner because his table's by there. The pastor who's come up from Wales, he starts crying. He sees my face change. He's crying again at the booth. It's all going Pete Tong. I can feel the rage building up inside of me. Then Mez, with a smile on his face, looks at me and very gently and calmly says, "Listen, son. Why don't you stay with me this weekend?" A gentle word turned away my wrath. And praise God, I love Andy to pieces now. You know that. You all know that. He's still very harsh-like. He's still very aggressive, you know? Listen, words are like life to us. They are. We can say, "Come, I said it for years. I don't care what people think." And yeah, there's a lot of people I don't care what they think, but there's a lot of people I do care what they think. Words are like life to us. We need words that come from outside us. And now listen, personally, I think it is good to talk to ourselves and not co-sign the sinful behaviors that come out of our heart, right? The Bible tells us to do the same. But words that come from outside of us, they're life. Proverbs 18:21, again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Remember, just a few minutes ago, I said, we all know how to destroy each other with a few words this morning, wouldn't we? We'd all know how to do that. I bet we all know how to build one another up, no? We're a critical bunch. We're a critical bunch. We're very quick to point out faults in people and wound them with our words. Wouldn't it be great if we were just as quick to encourage people, bringing life and healing instead? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. If you've got a sweet tooth like me, you know how sweet honeycomb is. Now listen, I'm sure we've all experienced the power of words to wound and the power of words to heal in our life, have we? Great. There's thousands of different words that could have been used for a specific situation, specifically for you in life that was either tough or helpful. So what I want to do this morning is remind us of two words that have the potential to bring healing and life to any situation. Can any of us guess what those two words are? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Two of the most powerful words on this planet. Two of the most underused words on this planet. Two words that can end pain. Two words that can bring healing. Two words that take us from spiritual death. Two words that take us to spiritual life. That's the start of our faith. I'm sorry, Jesus. Have mercy on me, a sinner. That's where it all begins. How good are we at saying sorry? How good are we at saying, I'm sorry? I'm not that good. I've needed to get better. Are we quick to say sorry when we are wrong? Or do we have proud hearts that are slow to admit sin? Because Proverbs says something about that too. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. When was the last time you said sorry to someone? When was the last time you said sorry to God? And I'm not just talking about sorry as a throwaway comment, by the way. That type of sorry makes you a liar because you're still concealing truth with your lips. It's a fake apology. It's not real. It's false. I'm sorry should always be followed by genuine repentance, a moving away from the thing you're sorry for and towards the thing you're trying to fix. Maybe there's someone you need to say sorry to in your life this morning. I guarantee there will be something you need to say sorry to God for. I promise you that. I'm sorry. These words can bring great healing for us and to others. But whatever words we are using, we must know how to use them wisely. Final section, using words wisely. Learning to speak wisely is all important, but it's a minefield. And majority of you in the church know I've stood on at least a few hundred mines in my time as a Christian. I can promise you that. It's a minefield. When we say what we mean, it can go wrong. When we don't mean what we say, it does go wrong. When what we say gets misunderstood, it always goes wrong. So what are we to do? What are we to do? How, as Christians trying to honor Jesus, can we speak wisely? Praise God for the book of Proverbs. Because I think Proverbs gives us four ways we can speak wisely. Four general ways. Proverbs tells us to speak honestly, to speak kindly, to speak wisely, and to speak courageously. Honestly, kindly, wisely, courageously. So let's look at that first one, speaking honestly. Speaking honestly means you're not speaking deceptively. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25, a truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. Proverbs 20, 17, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. Listen, lies will lead you to the grave. They will. They'll lead you to the grave. And you may be getting away with it now, but one day, as we've already said, every secret thing will be brought into the light. You better pray you're with Jesus when that happens. Now listen, seeing as we're in the book of Proverbs, I branched out a bit and I got hold of a Chinese proverb I quite like, okay? It says this, one falsehood destroys 1,000 truths. Isn't that right? One falsehood destroys 1,000 truths. But as Proverbs is telling us, as the Bible tells us, true, honest speech that has biblical grounding will lead you to glory. Glory. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Remember that next time you're about to tell a lie. Those who have hearts, truly changed by Jesus, have no need to lie. They should tell the truth. Something my dad said to me, he wasn't a Christian, but it did stick. Something I do my best to teach Asha is this, a man is only as good as his word. A man is only as good as his word. I promise you, especially with the way the world's going, that's going to be a rare thing. A man is only as good as his word. How much will we stand out as followers of Jesus if we stick by that? People who actually say what they mean and do what they say and tell the truth. second head, and speaking kindly. Speaking kindly and speaking gently. Now, I guarantee when most of us hear the word gentle, well, I do at least, I think of something soft or weak. Even though I know it's not. Yeah, I still think of like a little helpless kitten that you kind of carry a little bit. You know, you're all right. Product of my environment, I imagine. But listen to what Proverbs 25:15, and this pickled me this week. Proverbs 25:15. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle word can break a bone. A gentle word can break a bone. Listen, there's a couple of rough lads in the church this morning. I'm looking around, you're like, what's he on about? A gentle word can break a bone. That's exactly how I felt in the week. A gentle word can break a bone. Well, I did some digging, mining for gold. And turns out the Hebrew word for bone in this context means the most hard and stubborn idea to something. Okay? A bone is hard, no? So what this verse is saying is through kindness, patience, and gentle words, even the most stubborn, hardened idea can be broken. I've seen it happen. Listen, many of us here, myself included, we do not respond well to harsh speech, do we? We don't. The Hebrew word for harsh means to inflict pain, to cause pain. And there'll be some of us who, if someone gets harsh and aggressive with them, maybe they shut down. They don't know how to work. But myself, and I know many others, if someone gets harsh and aggressive with me, my tendency is to get even more harsh and aggressive back. But a gentle word ruins me. Ruins me. I'm not used to it. And he's back in the limelight again. But Debbie, your husband Andy, he done me right over in South Africa with it. Just Tash was here, she'd be laughing now, and Jude would. I'm glad Jude has gone to do the kids. So it was our last day in South Africa. Yeah, we're on a mission trip to South Africa. It's our last day there, and all I wanted to do was have a beer down the bay. That's all I wanted. Just one beer. There was lovely lager called Castle out there. I wanted to have it down the bay. Happy days. I'm a simple man. But the rest of the team wanted to go on this stupid boat trip. This boat tour around the bay. I couldn't care less about a boat tour. So I tell him, crack on, go on your boat tour, happy days. I'll be at the bar when you get back. I'm going to have a beer. But for some reason, I don't know why, because he's a very godly man, Andy really wanted me to come. So I tell him, listen, I'm not going, Andy. So he says, okay, pal, why don't we go and get a snack down and a beer down at the bay? I thought, he's come round to my way of thinking. He see what I'm trying to say. Praise the Lord. Off we go down the bay. I'm chilling, having a beer, having a little snack. Looks at me, goes, beautiful sunset this evening, Sam. Bet that boat tour will be all right. I'm thinking, what's he on about? Now, whether it was gentle speech or manipulation, I'll let you decide, all right? But it worked. It worked. I ended up on this boat trip and I had a great time. It was brilliant. And I can be proper stubborn, by the way, but a gentle word broke me down. It broke the stubborn idea I had towards something. Now, that's definitely something worth bearing in mind as we disciple in the schemes, isn't it? Many of us here in this church today have come from loud, violent, aggressive, harsh backgrounds. Many of us. But a few gentle words can help heal 1,000 harsh ones. Something to be mindful of as we disciple in the schemes, no? Thirdly, then, speaking wisely. Proverbs 13:3 says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Basically, he who doesn't shut up. Yeah, that one rung a bell with me, yeah? Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It isn't always about what we say or how we say it, but also when we say it. A misplaced word can bring ruin. Ruin. How many of us have gone into something with the right intentions and just completely blown the situation up? Think of Job's mates. Everything Job's mates said, according to what they knew at their time in history, was right. They were theologically correct with what they're saying. It was the wrong time to be saying it. A misplaced word can bring ruin. But a well-placed word, that can be priceless. Like apples of gold set in silver. That's what Proverbs says. Let's practically think of this, right? Think of the backslider who's just come back to church. They've been deep in sin for a long time, right? At some point, it will be right and wise to have a word with them about their sin. That needs challenging. It needs dealing with, yeah? But that time probably won't be the second they walk in through the door, right? Think of the prodigal son. We need plenty of prayer and discernment with this one. It's a really tough one to get, do you know what I mean? We'll be working on this one, all of them, till the day we die. Finally then, speaking courageously. Speaking courageously is not gossiping. It's not gossiping. Everyone in the world gossips these days. It's not courageous to gossip. It's courageous not to gossip. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. Whoever goes about slandering or gossiping reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Basically, watch yourself around anyone who chats nonsense. One of the main ways we can stand out from the world is by being courageous enough to not gossip. One of the main ways we can stand out from the world is by being courageous enough to call out gossip. Loose lips sink churches. Loose lips sink churches. Gossip should have no place in the kingdom. It should have no place in the church. Now, something for the courageous. I'm looking around. There's a couple of courageous speakers in here, a couple of courageous talkers. I have no problem saying how it is. I get that. Something for you guys and myself to be aware of, that courageous talkers often lack compassion when they speak. Very blunt, very forward. And vice versa, compassionate speakers can lack courage too. We need both. We need both. We need courage and compassion. Okay? We need to pray for both. We need to look to the one who had both, who we're coming on to now. So then, we need to speak honestly. We need to speak kindly and gently. We need to speak wisely. We need to speak courageously. We need speech that brings life, not speech that brings death. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Let all your speech be seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to speak to everybody." Wouldn't it be lovely if we could just follow these steps and speak wisely, using only our willpower, and we'd be fine forever? We have no chance of doing any of this. We have no chance of doing any of this because we're dirty, rotten sinners. Every single one of us in this church is. If we want to have any chance of speaking wisely in this life, then we need new hearts. New hearts that only the one who used words perfectly can give us. Jesus was always truthful and honest. Jesus was always kind. Jesus always used wise words and was courageous to the point of death on a cross. Jesus is the word. He is the word that brings his people life. And on his way to the cross, what were his own people doing? Gossiping about him, mocking him, literally killing him with their words. Their words sent him to the cross. Crucify him, crucify him. How did Jesus respond? Forgive them, Father. Forgive them, Father. At the cross, Jesus took our dirty, filthy, rotten words and offered forgiveness in his place. But that wasn't the most painful thing Jesus went through here in those words. One of the most painful things Jesus went through at the cross wasn't the wounding words. It wasn't the nails driven through his hands and through his feet. It wasn't the crown of thorns. Let me tell you what it was. The most painful thing Jesus went through at the cross was the cosmic silent treatment he got from the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you stopped talking to me? The same God who used words to speak creation into existence, the same God who had been in perfect, loving communication perfectly with his Son since before time, stopped speaking to him on the cross. Instead, he was punishing him on the cross. Can you imagine what that was like for Jesus? But he'd done it willingly. He'd done it willingly. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, says Hebrews. And he endured it. He endured it so that sinners like me and you could be saved. And you better believe he didn't stay on that cross. No. He rose from the dead so that sinners like me and you could say some of the most powerful words in the world, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jesus. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I promise you this morning, I promise you that you have, if you have not said sorry to Jesus for your sins and have not put your faith in him, you are going to hell. If you are living a life opposite to how the Bible tells you to live, how Jesus, if you're living a life opposite to what faith in Jesus looks like, however good the image you're putting on is, you're going to hell. God sees your heart. But if you have said sorry to Jesus, if you have said sorry to Jesus and trusted in him this morning, then you are going to new creation where there will be no more lying, where every word will be perfect, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more suffering. Every tear will be wiped away. And if you have said sorry to Jesus and put your faith in him this morning, you will have the Holy Spirit now to help you speak wisely. Jesus says this. He says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. But an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Ask God to fill your heart with Christ and his Spirit this morning. The same Spirit, by the way, who at Pentecost, when he was first poured out, healed people's speech before everything else. Have you noticed that? At Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, filled everyone there, what's the first thing he sorted out? Their speech, their tongues. They could speak perfectly. They could understand each other's language. They could share the gospel. Would that same Spirit fill us today because of what Jesus Christ has done for us? Would we always speak wisely and honor our Savior? Amen. Let's pray. God Almighty, Lord above, we are so thankful for Jesus. Forgive us. Forgive us for the evil that comes out of our hearts. Wash our hearts clean this morning, Lord, please. Would we use words that honor you and honor the people around us? Jesus, thank you that you went to the cross and died for us. I pray for anyone here today who is living a double life. I pray for anyone here today who has not put their faith in you, that they would come back to you. They would come back to the foot of the cross. And Lord, they would smash it for your kingdom and your glory, speaking wisely, sharing your gospel until the day you call us home. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.